All right, Kim Gordon, thanks very much. Steve Bertrand here. It is the Wintrust Business Lunch. We're halfway through May, 5:15. It is a beautiful afternoon along Michigan Avenue, and glad you're along to listen to the Wintrust Business Lunch this afternoon. We talk on Mondays with the folks from Chicago Inno, and Karis Husted and Jim Dahlke are in the studio today, so we'll catch up with them in just a few minutes. A little bit later, we'll be joined on the program by Randy Schaefer, who writes about the social media for the Chicago Tribune. You know, Randy was talking about that big festival in the Bahamas a few weeks. What was, do you guys know?
Fire Festival,
right. And so we kicked that around about how it kind of was fraudulent, right?
You know, there was a Chicago investor in the Fire Festival.
Is that right? Really?
Yeah. Sam Yagan's Corazon Capital. He didn't invest in the festival, but Fire has it's a media company, and they have an app that's like booking for events and stuff. And so they invested in the app, had no connection to the actual festival.
Right.
And then now that sort of all of the drama has come out, they are kind of like an early backer, at least of the media company itself.
Well, and now there's a bit of a crackdown on all these social media celebrities who endorsed it, took the cash for it, and things like that. So we'll talk to Randy about that a little bit later. But that was Jim Dahlke. Karis Husted here as well. That's not what we're talking about with you guys. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Let's talk about the Connectory. This is something that just opened in Chicago today.
Yes, this is something opening in Chicago today. It's a hub for Internet of Things, or IoT startups in Chicago. It's a partnership between 1871, which is a big tech hub here, as well as Bosch, which is a huge multinational German technology company.
And so they've only got a couple of clients right now, or what are they going to do there?
Yeah, so essentially it's a flexible co-working space solely devoted to IoT startups as well as Bosch teams that want to get connected with startups and kind of the new technology coming out of Chicago. So it's a 19,000 square feet on the fifth floor of the Merchandise Mart. They have some equipment for prototyping. They also will have mentors from Bosch as well as some local faculty and executives for additional mentorship.
Tell me, this is a story you wrote, so you're the expert on it. Tell me about this company, Glance Mirror.
Yes,
is already up and running there.
Yeah, so of two startups that are actually confirmed working out of there now, one is Glance Mirror. And so this is basically bringing Internet of Things to displays. So they have a mirror that when you walk up to it, it gives you personalized information about your day. So it could be messages, it could be weather, commute times. It's basically bringing that sort of smart technology to your the first thing you look at in the morning.
So you're shaving in the morning. And Jim, you should have.
it's about a once every 2 week routine.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So you can be standing though at the mirror, shaving, and see the Cubs score, the traffic, the weather, all of it on your mirror. That's pretty cool.
This idea I actually totally love, because I'm always, you know, brushing my teeth in the morning and I think, oh, I wonder what email I got late last night, or I wonder what the weather's going to be like, which shirt should I wear this morning. So it kind of gives you all of that sort of like, what do I need to know today information, right, to start your day right in your bathroom mirror.
You know, a lot of people find, and I don't want to speak for everyone, but that the Steve Cochran show does that on WGN Radio, gives you all the information you need. You might want to try that.
Oh, we'll put that into the mirror.
Yeah, you put that in the mirror. And
exactly.
And they're actually looking to bring that technology to other displays, which is why the Connectory is really exciting for them, is they have, you know, a smart refrigerator there, a smart coffee maker. So they're thinking about exploring some of these other smart displays and bringing that to your fridge or, one of your other kitchen appliances.
Company Bosch, this big company, is funding a lot of it. And they say, well, gosh, that's really nice of them, but they're looking to eavesdrop a little bit too, right?
Yeah, for sure. So Bosch is totally funding the space, and that's definitely on purpose. You know, their first priority is just to get their teams rubbing shoulders with startups. I think that's a big trend we see now. Corporations want to be innovative, so they're trying to connect more with startups. But they did mention that something down the line is they're looking to potentially license technology, do partnerships, and even acquire startups if it so fits their needs.
All right, so there's that. Speaking of startups, I was talking to Bill and Wendy about this company, Sparkle, which is a waterless car wash, and they will come to you, right? So if I'm parked on the street on Wacker, I can give them my address, and they're going to come clean my car?
Yep, that's how it works. They're bringing the on-demand economy to your car.
And so, but no water.
No. So that's the other thing. Basically, you know, we're seeing a lot of things about water waste in Southern California. There was a huge drought. And so they have this formula that actually is biodegradable, and it sort of gets down to like the nanoparticles of dirt, and it lifts it up.
It's like having your car dry cleaned.
I guess you could say that. Yeah, right. But it's all it's healthy chemicals.
Without
it's
the dry
cleaning
chemicals,
it's nothing
right.
That's bad for the environment.
Okay, so I can see where this would fly in California maybe, but Is it up and running here, or is it a prototype here? What's the situation?
Yep, it's up and running here. They started beta testing in June, and a few months later, they rolled it out. They've done 750 washes so far, and they're sort of planning a little bit more of a launch right now.
It's the kind of, you know, on-demand service I actually think works really well, right? Like, it's something that you have to do on your way home from work or during the weekend, and it's an extra chore for you to do. But if you can get that done while you're already at work, just schedule it for them to come to the parking lot and wash your car for you. That saves you a good 15, 20 minutes out of your day.
Or more, really, if you're waiting. And I was looking ahead, the prices in front of me. So $25 for exterior only, $32 for both, I think it is. $25 for exterior. I'm ashamed to say, I've paid around that, to have my car cleaned, because I never really broke my son into doing it for me.
I think it depends too. Like, so, I mean, you can, you know, I've got a car wash by my house that I think you can go through sort of like the quick automatic one, and it's like just a couple of bucks, right? So, I mean, this is going to give you a better clean than what the quick sort of automatic wash and dry will do.
Yeah, and the other thing too is they're not just doing on demand; they're also looking to partner with businesses and residential apartment buildings, kind of doing that B2B model. Like, we're going to bring this free,
so it's kind of a perk, right?
Yeah, this eco-friendly car wash to you.
Okay, maybe you didn't explain it enough, or I didn't give you enough time. Tell me again, how do they do this without water?
Yeah, so it's this formula that they have from a manufacturer in Los Angeles, and basically it lifts the dirt off the surface of the car and then is wiped away with a microfiber cloth.
All right, that's Cars Houston, Jim Dulkey in the studio. We're going to take a break. We've talked in the past about getting a college scholarship to play games in your parents' basement. And apparently that's a growing thing. So we'll kick that around in just a minute or so. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's 12:22. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN. Jim Dulkey and Cars Houston are in the studio. They write for Chicago Inno. They follow the tech world and innovation in the city. Jim, how do people follow you and keep up with all the information?
Oh, we are on all the social networks, Twitter and Facebook. They can catch us at ChicagoNO.com, and we have a daily newsletter called The Beat, very easy to sign up for on the homepage of ChicagoNO's website.
All right, check it out, because there's a lot there and a lot to follow, even if you're casually interested in it. I'm always finding things, and I'm more than casually interested, my friends, much more. Hey, so we've talked before about this, about the gaming. I don't know what gaming, it's not a gaming industry, it's the gaming players, and the fact that it, in a way, it's almost becoming a college sport now. You can get scholarships, and there just was an outfit, onlinecollegeplan.com, which actually ranked schools by, what's the term I keep saying?
What? Esports.
By esports, okay. So,
they did a sort of ranking of the best colleges for esports gamers. So if you're an aspiring esports athlete, and you know, it's very easy for me too, just like that, to chuckle at that idea.
Right.
As somebody who's a big football and basketball fan, I don't play a lot of video games. It's an industry that is extremely foreign to me, but it is an industry that's going to be a $1.1 billion industry by 2019.
Is it a college sports industry? I mean, are you telling me, though, that that people are going to go, well, I want to go to South Carolina because they've got a great esports program?
Well, here's the kicker. More than 20 U.S. colleges actually offer scholarships for esports players. Chicago's Robert Morris University was the first college to offer scholarships up to $19,000. The Big Ten just had an announcement earlier this year that a dozen of its schools are going to play in a season-long esports competition, the championship, which is actually on the Big Ten Network's TV channel.
And so this will make every mom and dad feel a little bit better because the University of Chicago ranks pretty well.
Yeah, University of Chicago is pretty good. So the ranking that the group did was the top 20 schools. University of Chicago came in at number 12. Robert Morris University, the Chicago University, came in at number 1. So actually, Chicago is home to the best school for esports gamers, at least according to this ranking.
So I am laughing because I'm just thinking of the dad saying, that kid's never going to amount to anything. You know, he's down in the basement playing the games, and now you can. There's actually a way to turn that lethargy into a college scholarship.
Exactly.
A varsity letter.
Exactly. And it's not about just, you know, gamers sort of playing with each other. I mean, these are experiences that are watched and viewed by fans. There are fans of esports that like to watch the gameplay of other people playing, and that's why this is really going to be that billion-dollar industry.
Yeah. The Twitch is another platform that I think is pretty relevant here. It's basically a site people can go to and actually watch people just online playing video games, and it's remarkably successful. And so, I mean, I think that this is really going off of that that success, is saying we know people like to watch sports, we know that people take it very seriously, you know, let's see what we can do with
and
it.
You know, I mean, you're right, I sort of chuckled at it and scoffed at it, if you will, but my son will watch competitions. And it's funny, it's interesting to me because it's like if you're watching a baseball game, you can get to know the players and you see the players perform. If you're watching these guys play games, you're not watching, although I guess they have split screens where you can watch them actually play the game.
Yeah, so you're following the player. So you know their strategies with how they have done in the past, which you sort of predict that they'll do in the future. I mean, and they actually, you know, held their Riot Games is the maker of League of Legends, and they held their big championship at the Staples Center in LA. So I mean, they're filling arenas for people who are watching these games on huge screens.
And if you're watching a baseball game, what's the difference between watching that and watching someone play an e-sport? Because you're not doing it either way. You're sitting there watching people perform. What does it matter what they're performing?
Yeah, I mean, you're there witnessing an experience, and whether that's a video game or a baseball game, I mean, it's to each his own.
All right, Tony Kubek and Joe Garagiola with the e-game of the week coming up at NBC on Saturday afternoon. All right, Karis, you wrote a story about fashion and apparel tech startups, and you started with this idea that they've kind of taken a hit with budget cuts, right?
Yeah, so fashion tech in Chicago actually really hasn't had a very good past few years. There was budget cuts last year to the Department of Cultural Affairs and Special Events that eliminated funding for Chicago Fashion Week and Fashion Focus. And there have been some really high-profile names that have come out of Chicago, including Cynthia Rowley and Eileen Fisher, but a lot of young talent has to leave. So I kind of took a look at what are the startups that are staying here and kind of taking a new spin on the fashion industry. And creating startups around it.
I like Leche Libre.
Yes, Leche Libre is one of my favorites as well. They're actually creating flexible, stylish apparel for breastfeeding moms. So they have sweatshirts and tunics with strategically placed zippers along the bust that basically allows for easier nursing access.
So do these designers have their own community, or are they kind of operating in silos among themselves? We just talked about, you know, the connectivity and things like that elsewhere.
Yeah, at this point, it is pretty disparate, but I think you're seeing a lot more attention paid to, seamstresses and apparel startups in these maker spaces. So we talked a few weeks ago about the rise of maker entrepreneurs, and I think fashion often does work in those areas.
So, how about that, you guys? Because when we started, we were talking about the group that just opened today. Tell me again their name.
The Connectory.
I was going to say Connectivity. Connectory. And I guess they are with 1871, but I also wonder sometimes if now we're creating all these separate sort of incubators to where you're going to lose a little cooperation and they're all going to be a little individualized.
That's possible, but I also think that, you know, a set of fashion entrepreneurs need different resources than Internet of Things entrepreneurs. You know, they don't need the sort of circuit boards and all the sort of technical equipment, but they maybe need the, you know, Chicago has a history of companies like Trunk Club and Bucket Feet and people who've had success in fashion, so connecting with those people rather than connecting with, you know, people who are going to sell to Bosch's IoT platform. So it's different needs.
That's Jim Dahlke, Karis Husted. Check him out at Chicago Inno. Great to see you guys again.
Thanks, Steve.
Thanks very much, Kim Gordon. Steve Bertrand here. It is the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGNR. Gary Mills is in the studio. He's the author of Pin Drop Principle, the co-founder of Pinnacle Performance Company. And, he just says everything. He also writes now for Forbes.com. And he's a lifelong friend of mine, which is my favorite part. Gary, welcome back to the Business Lunch.
Thank you very much for having me.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm reading in this piece you wrote in Forbes a week or so ago. And we're connecting about when you can be on. And, well, I think we've had four different countries that you've been to since 10 days ago, right?
No, not quite four. But
couple.
There's been a lot. Yeah, China, Poland, and now Paris this week.
And so you took this idea of taking your acting skills and using them to teach people in business or in any walk of life, really, better ways of communication, right? And
yeah,
you've now got a worldwide company.
Correct. Yeah, my co-founder, David Lewis, was a Fortune 500 sales guy. We both had acting backgrounds. I ran a health club where I met you.
All right. Didn't help me that much, but thank you for the effort.
And we came up with this idea 12 years ago to use all these techniques that professional actors know, how to engage an audience, be confident, be persuasive with their communication, bring them into the corporate environment to teach people how to use these tools to engage people and influence others.
And so 12 years ago, you're now in more than 40 countries.
We are. We're in over 40 countries now. We train in six languages and who's who of Fortune 500 executives.
International athletes.
Yes, international athletes, Olympians, NFL players.
Did you think?
No. We're always shocked at how it's taken off and how it's grown so much.
Well, but it's a great idea to take these skills because we all, you know, and you and I have talked about, it goes back, it's probably in the Pin Drop Principle we talk about, or you talk about active listening, you know, being engaged with someone, looking them in the eye and listening to what they have to say.
Yeah, you were generous enough to give me a great quote for that chapter on active listening, which I think you're amazing at. Active listening, very important, right? It's a two-way street. If you're talking, I'm not listening, message not getting
right,
across.
Right, right. I mean, there's so many times when you have a conversation doing an interview, that the best questions or the best opportunities aren't presented until someone says something that you weren't expecting, you know, and then if you're not really listening, you miss those
right.
things. Okay, so you're writing this piece at Forbes that, and you've said this before, in order to communicate well, you must influence emotion to motivate action.
Right.
You must create
influence
an emotion in your audience.
Correct. You want them to feel a certain way so they do a certain thing.
If they just hear something and aren't viscerally sort of affected, it's not going to have an impact.
Right. Numbers don't mean anything to an audience or to a client unless you put them in context, unless you make them feel a certain way about the numbers you're presenting.
All right. So, you've got there are the five C's.
And five C's.
I don't know if we need to run down all. Let's do it real quick. So be clear.
Clear, concise, confident, credible. Compelling.
All right. I want to, when it comes to clear, and this is so important, and I see this when I am reading, you know, for this, I tend not to be a business reader. So when I'm reading mm-hmm. things on someone's LinkedIn page or a company description, I can look at the words and it's like I'm dyslexic. And I
right,
mean that.
You don't care.
I don't understand it. They're mm-hmm. not reading in a way that a regular person can comprehend. And so they're just lost to me.
Right. Yeah. So the first thing with clear is it goes to understanding. If your audience is confused, if you're not hitting the mark with your communication, you're not going to get what you want. So understanding is one. And then benefit. What's in it for them? You're running a meeting. You're running a conference call. You're pitching a new product. If it's not clear to the person you're talking to why they should care.
Right, exactly.
They don't care.
And when it comes to being concise, you know, there's so many people I know who will make a point. They're like, okay, got the point.
Yeah.
And then they will continue to make the point. And then they'll remake the point as if they need to pound it into my head.
Yes.
And they're just really losing me.
Yes. And the longer you talk, the more likely it is you contradict yourself, bore your audience, or repeat yourself.
Yeah.
You're going to lose their attention.
So I said before you came in that I'm interested in what you write about, that confidence is important. And it seems like most of these, with being clear, being concise, being credible, those are things that I can create, to borrow another C.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure that I can create confidence. How do you create
show confidence? Here's a question we always ask in our workshops. I'll ask you right now. Yes or no, is it possible to project confidence to an audience or a client or a boss or a team if you're not confident in your material or not confident in yourself? Can you project confidence? Would you say yes or no?
I would say probably no.
The answer is absolutely yes.
Really?
Of course you can. You must.
Because I'm wasting all this prep time then.
Correct. Because, number one, sometimes you're not prepared or sometimes you don't believe in what you have to put forward.
Right,
the program
right, right.
is, they're still working the bugs out of this program, but I got to pitch it. I got to get out there. And so one of the things we teach in our workshops is how to project confidence even when you're not confident, because your audience can only judge you based on what they see and hear.
Okay, but you also see you have to be credible. And if you're not confident in what, or maybe you don't believe in what you're selling, how can you also be credible?
So credibility is going to go to what you're saying. Confidence is going to be going to how you're presenting it.
Okay.
So credibility is number. Are your numbers accurate? Do you know what you're talking about? Do you seem knowledgeable? Can you answer questions?
Are your words reliable in a way?
Yeah, are your words reliable? Right. Absolutely.
And so confident is really more of a physical reaction than a verbal reaction.
It's physical, and it's also, we help you get over stage fright too, because obviously actors are fantastic at that. So helping you manage the stage fright that you get, the anxiety, and then projecting confidence when you are actually nervous.
You talk about open body language. What is that and how does it apply to this?
So one of the things is you want to avoid any what we call pacifiers in the body, any nervous energy.
Look at me.
So right now, if you're
wringing my hands. Are you doing it because I'm
yeah,
doing it?
So this yeah. is a pacifier, right? Yeah. Just like those, you know, the spinner, the fidget spinners that
right.
are so popular right now.
With everyone but teachers?
Exactly. It's horrible because it's a pacifier. It's distracting. And it's getting in the way of people's attention.
All right, so I am. I'm talking to you, and I am wringing my hands.
Yeah,
and
that's anxiety in the hands. Sometimes people have it in the pelvis where they're shifting back and forth. They're playing with their, swinging their chair back and forth, shuffling their feet when they're doing a presentation.
I feel like I'm on a couch right now because I'm doing everything as you say it.
Clicking a pen. Right. Those are all wedding rings, spinning your wedding ring. Those are all pacifiers, and they distract from your message.
Okay, so those are the things you need to get rid of.
Got to stay open with your body language.
All right. And so explain that for me a little bit more. So that's the negative. Those are the taking away things. What are the things I should add to my body language in order to exude sort of confidence?
Gestures are great, and expansive gestures are better. Shakespeare said it best, suit the action to the word to the action. So a lot of times people say, I think I gesture too much. I don't know, how much gesturing should I do? It doesn't, there's no good gestures and bad gestures. It's only, does it support your message? Does it help get across the point you're trying to make?
All right, so we talked about the five C's here. Can you be a great, can you be an effective communicator with three C's?
I don't think so.
No, you need all five.
I think you need all five.
Really?
The interesting thing about this article was, about a year ago, I was doing a workshop in Singapore, and everywhere I went, traveling internationally, people wanted to talk about Trump as a communicator. This is back when he was a candidate. And so finally, I took the five C's and I did a video where I broke down Trump as a communicator. Take out the content, take out, you know, what he stands for, and let's just talk about him as a communicator. And he actually scored 3 out of 5. Thumbs up for 3 out of 5.
Which ones did he thumbs up?
What do you think?
Confidence.
Confidence, for sure. Compelling. You can't look away. Even if you don't like him, you're interested. And a year ago, clear was also a positive
he's
one.
Not, but he's lost the clear.
Exactly. Yeah. So now I went back and redid them, and now he's only 2 out of 3.
Interesting. Yeah. Gary Mills, pick up the book. The name of the book is Pin Drop Principle. And where do people find out more information about the book or the company?
You can go to www.pinper.com for the Pinnacle website.
You've got clients in Chicago. You don't have to travel the world to pick up a client, right?
Yeah, we have a lot of great clients in Chicago, all over the U.S., all
right,
over
buddy.
The world.
Good to see you. Thanks Good for coming by. Thanks very much, Orion Samuelson. Steve Bertrand here. You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WG. And now, over the weekend, the Chicago Headline Club gave out the Lissagor Awards. And, we were fortunate enough to win one for business reporting. And thanks for that. Very happy for that news. I want to especially point out Michael Heidemann, who was the former producer of the show. Bennett Wakenight produces now, does a great job, but Michael did it before Bennett. And Michael put together the segment that won the Lissagor Award. So good for you, Michael Heidemann. Thanks for your work on that. Randy Schaefer is in the studio. She writes about social media for the Chicago Tribune. Randy, welcome back to the Business Lunch.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Okay, so it was a few weeks ago, right? We talked about this, and I can remember, it was the Fire Festival, right?
Yes, Fire Festival.
And the thing was just a disaster. It was supposed to be in the Bahamas, right?
Yeah, billed as a new Coachella. It was supposed to be on a private island in the Bahamas, filled with celebrities and yachts and luxury gourmet dining.
And did anything happen?
Nothing at all happened. There were cheese sandwiches, no celebrities, canceled flights, there was no shelter.
And part of it was built up by these social media influencers, right, who cashed in big checks in order to get people to go.
Yeah, absolutely. There were these huge, you know, Emily Ratajkowski, the Jenners, Kardashian, that whole clan, they were paid pretty hefty, $250,000 to promote this festival. And, you know, as we went on a few weeks ago, all of the money went toward marketing. None of it went toward infrastructure, which is kind of why the whole thing collapsed.
Right. And so now is it the FTC or who's coming down on these influencers?
Yeah, it's the FTC that's coming down on these influencers to make sure something like this doesn't happen again. And how they're doing that is they're requiring influencers to disclose when they are paid to promote something like this.
And so if Kylie Jenner is getting paid $250,000 to say, go to the Fry Festival, I am, even though she's not, then she would have to disclose somewhere prominently that she's being paid for that message.
Yeah, and a lot of these influencers that do follow the rules will use like a hashtag SP for sponsored or hashtag sponsored, or they'll tag the business. And so the FTC is saying, you know, you guys have to make it a lot more clear that you're getting paid to say these things about this event that you're probably not even going to.
Has the FTC, do they actually crack down? Have they fined people in the past?
I'm not sure in the past, because this whole influencer thing is still pretty new, but this is at least the first time I've heard about it, these warnings are.
Well, I mean, yeah, you're a big social media influencer. Do you always mark down when you're being paid to say things?
Sadly, I wish I was getting paid to say things on my social media, but I am still in that phase where I just genuinely share what I like.
I would imagine that a little Bow Wow probably gets some cash, right, for praising things and saying things?
I think so, yeah.
And so he got a little trouble when it comes to social media this last week.
Lil Bow Wow in a little trouble.
What happened to this boy?
Lil Bow Wow, who actually dropped the little from his name a few years ago.
Oh, he's now Bow Wow.
He just goes by Bow Wow, yes.
I want to apologize, Bow. I'm sorry about that.
Bow Wow. So he posted a photo of a private jet on his Instagram and captioned it, something flying, something doing amazing things with my life. I forget the exact caption. But he was actually flying economy, I believe, on a flight.
So he posted this picture of a private jet.
Yes.
I'm on my way to New York.
Yes, while sitting in his economy seat on his United or JetBlue or whatever airline he decided to take.
It wasn't Spirit. I'm sure it wasn't Spirit.
I'm sure it wasn't Spirit. Right. And somebody called him out on it.
And so they posted. They said, hey, I just saw Bow Wow.
Yeah. No there was Lil. Somebody, no Lil. There was somebody on the flight that had taken this photo of Bow Wow on his phone in economy and posted it on Twitter next to the screenshot of Bow Wow's photo of the private plane that he definitely was not on.
And so they busted him on that. And how did he react? Probably not so well.
He didn't react so well, but the internet had an absolute field day with it. The hashtag Bow Wow Challenge became a thing.
And so people would say one thing about their lives and then show the reality.
Oh, absolutely. There was somebody with a close-up of what looked like he was holding a steering wheel, and he's like, got that new whip, and then he zooms out, and he's holding the plastic bus seat, and he says, just kidding, hashtag Bow Wow Challenge.
That's Randy Schaefer. She writes about social media for the Chicago Tribune, and everything she says is true. And, well, she's not making hundreds of thousands of dollars to say things that aren't true.
Sadly, I'm not.
Maybe one day, though.
I think I'll stick with truth here.